Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Bring
'em
out, bring 'em out.
Bring
'em
out, bring 'em out.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
That's right. It's that time again, 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. It's time for Salute Your Sports. I am Matthew Terry, Chris Mitchell, James Stanley.
Are you sure about that?
Alongside me for another fabulous edition of SYS. Gentlemen, how's your day been so far?
It's been okay, actually. Not a whole lot. Ordered a sandwich at class, got it delivered here. Pretty good sandwich.
Where from?
Okay.
Are we allowed to talk about this?
No. I'll tell you later. No.
I mean, I guess.
What kind of sandwich was it?
It was a meatball sub.
Meatball sub. All right. We're getting warmer here.
I don't want to go over. I don't want to speculate on the air in case we screw up. But
it was a pretty good sandwich.
You know what? He should describe everything about the sandwich, and then we should try to guess where it came from.
I know where it came from, though.
Oh.
I was with him when he got it.
Oh.
Just some extra meatballs on that bad boy. Extra pizza sauce.
So we'll just we'll allude to where the sandwich was from.
Eat Fresh,
but not actually. No, the name of the place was in the sandwich he described. Does that make sense to you? Because Chris had a meatball sub.
Anyways,
you're looking at me.
Quiznos?
Dump.
Yeah.
Did you listen to a word I said? Anyways, that is producer James Stanley.
Flame Stanley in the building. DJ Redbeard.
Of
on
course.
The beat.
Alrighty, he's got all his precious sound bites back that he didn't have on Saturday.
Yo, imagine.
I thought you were going to explode on Saturday when you didn't have your sound bites to play and annoy me with on a constant basis.
Man, imagine if he had the sound bites on Saturday.
Oh, the way Saturday went, it would have been off
that
the
was
rails.
That was the funnest show I've had on KCOU in a long time.
That was a fun show. That was a reckless show on
really
Saturday.
Good.
That was just a pure Salute Your Sports show, which we don't take ourselves too seriously because no one should.
Definitely not me.
Yeah, like, don't take us seriously. We're three dweebs on college radio.
Please don't. Thank you.
But anyways, we do have to be a little bit serious. Mizzou football, going to be talked about on this show a lot because they had a big game last week and a 40-37 nail-biting win in West Lafayette. Over the Purdue Boilermakers.
What is that, the old promo?
What is this?
It's dramatic effect.
It's shootout music.
This sounds like a Wild West.
Because
from the Wild West.
Because it was a shootout.
Okay.
This would be good, the bad, and the ugly.
Then it would have made more sense if I knew what was happening before you started playing music again. Because this is a regular occurrence. Anyways, but Mizzou is their biggest home game of the season coming up this Saturday.
That's right.
When the defending national runners-up and number two team in the country, defending
SEC
champions, Georgia Bulldogs, are coming to Faurot Field to take on Drew Locke and the Missouri Tigers. But first things first, we're going to get into Mizzou's game at Purdue this weekend. And, of course, Mizzou soccer's on a roll as well. They've won three straight. We'll talk about them later on in the show, but first we're going to get into this Mizzou-Purdue game. All three of us predicted wins. Thank you for turning off the music finally. I was going to ask you to do that, and I'm glad I didn't have to do that over the air.
That song with the speed-up bar is not good.
Let's find out, James. Well,
that's a bad one.
We have time. Play it with the speed-up.
I already did. It sounded bad.
You did?
Tell?
Oh, no.
It didn't sound
I don't
great.
Listen to anything you do.
It sounded ungood.
I try to tune it
That's
out.
That's the problem, because you should listen to your producer.
See, I try to tune out the music you play in the background so that I can hear the sound of my own voice.
I hope we never do a broadcast together, because we'll just be tuning each other out. It will not be pretty.
We've done broadcasts.
Mizzou was very efficient on fourth down.
We've done broadcasts together before, and you routinely call me from the wrong state. Say that I'm from the wrong state.
Minnesota, right?
Yes, that's what you say I'm from, and I'm not from Minnesota. I've never lived there. This is a thing that's occurred multiple times when we've broadcasted together.
Well, see, the heck of it is, I there's two different states I could pick, and then I pick the wrong one.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
That's how it'd be sometimes.
So it's fantastic. Anyways, Mizzou versus Purdue. I promise we'll get into this game. Things started off very well for the Tigers, jumping out to, at one point, a 27-10 lead midway through the second quarter. Then a big swing of events at the end of the first half in Purdue's favor. They scored a touchdown, blocked a field goal, and scored another touchdown with 9 seconds left to make it a 3-point game at halftime. The teams ended up trading blows all the way until the final buzzer, when Tucker McCann hit a 25-yard field goal as time expired on a 10-play, 68-yard drive that ended the game, giving the 3-point victory to the visiting Tigers. Gentlemen, what was your biggest takeaway from this game?
Cam Hilton should be serving a penalty for targeting the football.
Ah, yes, classic.
Mizzou was very efficient on fourth down.
They were. That was one thing I was really surprised about, is how much Mizzou went for it on fourth down.
Yeah, and how that ended up adding up in the end. I believe most of the times they went on fourth down, it ended in either a touchdown or a field goal, right?
That's a stat that I don't have in front of me, sounds right, so I believe you.
They were very efficient, regardless of how bad the announcers were.
What do you mean?
Emmanuel Sanders is in the doghouse. You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
A relax factor.
If you did not listen to the game, that was one of the worst.
Listen to the game on KCOU, it's okay, we forgive you, because I didn't either.
Just this once.
But the Big Ten Network commentary, which I don't really want to touch on much because I don't like talking down about other broadcasters, because they're just doing their best, but there are times when they need to be called out for the things they say, like confusing Emmanuel Hall as Emmanuel Sanders, saying that Purdue has really shut down Emmanuel Hall.
The doghouse.
There you go. When Emmanuel Hall had about like 60 yards on the first drive of the game, and then was taken out for injury for the rest of it, and they said Purdue had kept him in check when he wasn't on the field.
That's right.
Calling Mizzou offensive coordinator Derek Dooley Purdue's offensive coordinator multiple times in the broadcast, and really just not being that great in general. So if you were fed up, if our loyal listeners were fed up with the Big Ten Network commentary, you're not alone, because it's pretty much all anyone, at least that I know of, has talked about from that game, was how bad the commentary was. And that's really a statement of how, like, good commentary can add a lot to a game. Bad commentary can take away more.
The preparedness of the play-by-play guy was okay. Wasn't great. Yeah. The problem was the color commentator.
It was awful.
The color commentator was, like, that would have been fine for Purdue's home broadcast on the radio. Yes. That would have been perfect. Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to bring in people from, you know, the SEC, to listen to SEC network coverage all the time, and bring them on to Purdue's cover, or the Big Ten coverage of the Purdue game, mm-hmm. Well, apparently this is not the only team that has complained about the Big Ten bias when the Big Ten's playing non-conference teams on the Big Ten network.
I understand it. It's the Big Ten network. They're going to have Big Ten bias.
I can deal with one of the two, either the ill preparedness or the homerness.
Okay.
Well,
the ill preparedness or the homerness, like individually, I can deal with one of the two, but both them is just awful.
Fair.
Yeah.
Together, there's no excuse for that, and at least the in studio, analyst. I don't want to call the analyst. He was the guy facilitating the in studio.
Oh, the host.
Work. The host. That's right. He was a Mizzou grad.
Hey.
Oh, that's right.
And he had a lot of. He said Jayhawk is a fictional bird that can't fly.
Good.
That was one of the things he said. And then he also called Mizzou, not Missouri. He called it Mizzou. He got it right. And as soon as I heard that, I knew either A, he's pandering to Mizzou fans, or B, he is a Mizzou grad. And what do you know? He's part of the Mizzou mafia.
Hey.
Good. So anyways, this football game that actually happened that we really haven't said anything about. What was your biggest takeaway from the actual game and not the broadcast of the game?
Emmanuel Sanders is in the doghouse.
Actual game, James.
The secondary kind of fell apart. DeMarcus Acy went out early in the game with an injury.
Yes, that's pretty much another thing that I thought of immediately.
He's supposed to be back for Saturday.
I think he will be back for Saturday. He was up and moving around on the sideline during that game.
I don't know if we're allowed to name drop football players who are in our classes, but I don't even know who it is, if I could even name drop.
Fantastic.
It. But
I'm going to name drop a person whose name I don't know.
Problem solved.
James Stanley.
But
You don't have to worry about making anyone mad.
He was talking about DeMarcus Acey in class, and he said he should be good to go for Saturday.
That's good.
Hey.
The Tigers will need him. They'll need everyone on defense.
Literally everybody.
Including Matthew Terry and Chris Mitchell.
Of course.
That's right.
I do think
that... I'm B3 safety.
DeMarcus Acey has shown some improvement already this year. And I'm not saying he's an absolute stud at corner, because he does have a lot of ways he can improve as a player, which I'm not going to go into right now. But losing one of your two starting cornerbacks on the first defensive play of the game can really mess with a team's rhythm.
But
especially a team that slung the ball around like Purdue did.
But Mizzou was still able to shut down Purdue through most of the first half.
Yes, they were. Until
I'm
that
not sure
field
if
goal.
It's if it's Purdue adjustments or if it's the fact that Missouri got tired in the secondary and had miscues like we saw with Cam Hilton, the ball bouncing off his helmet into the loving arms of a Purdue receiver.
I'm not even calling that a miscue. I'm calling that bad luck.
That was just incredibly bad luck.
So
because Cam Hilton made a perfect defensive play.
The play was fine.
Of putting his helmet on the ball when the receiver caught it and knocking it out of his hands. It's just very unfortunate where it went afterwards.
I wonder what the odds are of that actually happening. Because you know how football bounces different ways.
Oh, yeah.
It can bounce 1,000 different ways.
It was unfortunate. They just bounced right up to him and ended up in a 70-yard play.
Oh, and that's the other thing about these announcers. One last thing about the announcers.
Go for it, James.
Before I beat this dead horse too much, they would not let that overturned call of a drop touchdown pass go.
Yeah.
And
good reason that was a big call.
That was very big call. But that was clear. The ball moved when it touched the ground.
Yeah. I was surprised they took it back. I was surprised they overturned it.
And it's interesting. Well, I was surprised they overturned it.
Yeah.
But they kept saying that they should confirm that as a touchdown. That play was not confirmable by any means. If anything, the call might stand because the precedent is to stick with the calls on the field.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I was shocked that play got reversed. But the fact they would not let it go, and then the Purdue announcer was calling for Purdue fans to be upset about it, you know, tomorrow morning looking at it on replay. Come on.
The one thing the broadcaster said that did irritate me was late in the fourth quarter. He's like, I feel Purdue's going to get a turnover.
There's another one.
The color commentator said something like, I feel Purdue's going to have a turnover here. They haven't forced a bad play from Drew Locke so far, except Drew Locke hadn't thrown an interception. And sadly, the commentator ended up being right because Drew made the bad play where he rolled out and just tossed the ball.
Well,
he
did not jinx Drew Locke on that.
He didn't. Call. Drew just made a horrible play.
To me, he's trying to sound like Tony Romo, which, to play devil's advocate, if the Keller guy just said that throughout the whole game, I would not have complained.
What?
I thought that was actually a fair thing to say, because you see Tony Romo say it all the time, because Tony Romo somehow has a magical ball inside the broadcast booth where you can see into the future three plays ahead.
He's surprisingly good.
And we don't criticize Tony Romo for that.
No.
So why should he get flack for that? But I understand
he said it with no basis.
Sometimes you have a feeling. I'm guessing he's an ex-player.
I don't remember the man's name, and I'm honestly glad I don't, because I don't want to name drop people that were just openly talking bad about on the air.
You know some of the worst Homer broadcasters, though?
Who, James?
You go to these smaller universities around Missouri, like Central Methodist and Fayette, and Lincoln at one point, who worked with Nate Gatter. They had former football
players.
Name
drop.
They had former football players calling these games with these broadcasters, actually most of whom came from Mizzou, and talking with Nate and then talking with Ben Wilson, another former KCOU guy, another
name drop.
They said that they're some of the most homerized people that they've ever met.
The football players watching their former teammates play, yes.
On the air, and they said it's difficult to work with them.
Oof. I can imagine.
I mean, talk about saying, you know how we're not supposed to say we because it sounds, well, not just because it makes us sound like homers, but also because we're not technically affiliated with Mizzou Athletics.
Correct.
Nope.
That's why we're not. That's why we try our best to hashtag don't say we.
But they take it to the next level. Like,
they do.
They say on the homerized versions of it, it is absolutely
I'm about to name drop someone I don't know that does that a lot and it annoys me. I guess we're just airing our grievances right now, which will happen later on
in the
show.
That's the whole show.
But pretty much at this point. But someone that does that a lot is Jeff Francoeur for the Atlanta Braves.
Is he a broadcaster now?
Yes, does radio and TV. Fills in for both for
Royals
my beloved
legend,
Atlanta
Jeff
Braves.
Francoeur.
And he is the absolute worst with saying, we need to stop here. We need a rally. We need something.
I could imagine. He's a great guy, though. I love Jeff Francoeur. Frenchie.
We can get into more about Jeff Francoeur's broadcast style later on, because I don't know how we got on the subject. Other than that, I just brought it up.
I remember when he got stuck in the ceiling.
One last thing. Bringing on in the NHL now, and with the with the Detroit Lions, they fired their play-by-play guys. And not every team in the NHL, but there's now been three teams in the NHL that have fired their long-term play-by-play guys and have gone with former or ex-players.
Yeah.
What is going on?
That's how you get people to tune in.
Those are not the people that went to college for
names
that, though.
They recognize, though.
That is terrible for our field.
Braves put Chris Medlin in the radio booth on their last trip out west.
Royals. Wow, so this is the new...
So
we've gone from Harry Caray and Hawk Harrelson to Chris Medlin and Jeff Francoeur.
Yeah. I mean, Hawk Harrelson is still very much a thing.
Well, he's gone after this year, isn't he?
Is he?
I think he's retiring.
Harry Caray's son or grandson?
Chip Caray.
Chip Caray is...
And his grandson.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Chip Caray's the grandson.
Who's his son, Mike Caray? Skip Caray?
Chip Caray is the current Atlanta Braves play-by-play guy.
That's cool.
Along with another former player, Joe Simpson, along with him. And you may know Joe Simpson for someone who has made some egregious comments over the air so far this year that has just made a mockery of the Braves broadcast booth. Saying things like, if Juan Soto is as old as he said, if a 19-year-old player Juan Soto is as old as he says he is. Saying things like that.
Yeah.
And saying,
can't talk about that on the air.
And getting openly mad that the Dodgers were wearing shirts during batting practice.
That's still not as bad as calling someone out for their age.
No, it's not. But he's done both of those things. And both times he's made an embarrassment out of the Braves booth.
Hey, let's
not talk about the Braves struggles in the broadcast booth. Mizzou beat Purdue.
Yay.
Let's talk about this. We've said basically what we didn't like and that the defense was. We don't like the broadcast. The defense did not look good, really, in the slightest in the second half. What did we like about this game? Mizzou won. There's stuff to like.
The offense looked good. Drew Locke's still on point.
Yeah.
He's not missed a beat. Now has 11 touchdowns on the year, which I guess we're about a quarter of the way through the season.
We are a quarter of the way through the season.
And he's right on pace to hit 44 again.
Would put him at 44 with a potential bowl game to break. But he's also
But that was only 44 in the regular season. That did not include the bowl game.
It did not include the bowl game?
It did not include the bowl game.
Because usually bowl games are included in those stats, I thought.
I am 99% sure on the boards for the Arkansas game, he had 38 going. You know what? I think you're right. Because he had 43 at the end of the Arkansas game, and he only had one in the Texas Bowl.
Yeah.
You're right.
But anyways, so yeah, that'd be 13 games for Drew to potentially break his own record, which would be absurd considering he does have to play Georgia and Alabama later on this year.
But in this hypothetical season of Mizzou upsetting Georgia on Saturday, having College Game Day at Tuscaloosa in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Locke winning the Heisman, then yeah, he is going to break that record this year.
Okay, well, in this hypothetical scenario, I imagine the defense doesn't give up 37 points to Purdue.
One thing I really liked about Drew Locke this game, like even after he threw like that pick in the fourth quarter, he was able to, you know, like keep his composure and, you know, just like not crumble like, I don't know, like a tower, like a Jenga tower, and just phone it in for the rest of the game because, well, blew our chance to like seal the game away. Oh, well, might as well like play some prevent.
Definitely. So at least one thing that I liked about this is the way Emmanuel Hall. At least I caught myself is how Emmanuel Hall didn't play most of the game and the offense didn't really miss a beat. Because last year it felt like when Drew didn't have Emmanuel to go deep to, the offense kind of sputtered a little bit. And they still scored 40 points without Emmanuel for most of the game. So that's what stood out to me a lot, and then Drew Locke was making a lot better decisions. I'm excited to see how he plays against Georgia. Speaking of that, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get some more in-depth analysis, hopefully, on the Georgia game. And got some Mizzou soccer coming up as well. Keep those dials tuned in, folks. It's still your sports here on KCOU.
That was a nice 20 minutes.
I am one of those melodramatic fools. Neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creep.
Look at me, busy as a bee. Where'd I get all this energy? Oh, man, man. I don't sleep and I don't eat. but I've got the cleanest house on the street.
Oh, meth.
Meth. Get these hairs all out of my face. Get these bugs all out of my place. One more hit,
no time to waste. Oh, meth. Meth.
By now, you've heard about how much we love to partner with our friends at One-to-One Print Shop for all of our custom apparel needs. We aren't the only ones who have been blown away by them. Every customer who wrote them a review on Google or Facebook gave their One-to-One Print Shop experience 5 stars, and we are confident you will too after working with them. For creative custom apparel at an affordable price and great customer service, check out One-to-One Print Shop at 1610 Paris Road or visit their website at onetoonprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com.
Hi, we are peers from the Sexual Health Advocacy Peer Educator Program, SHAPE, at Mizzou. We are stronger than ever this year. To refresh your memory, we provide a variety of services centered around sexual health education to faculty, students, and staff on Mizzou's campus as well as the Columbia area. We provide free barrier contraception methods across campus in residence halls, the Women's Center, and the Student Health Center. We provide sexual health educational programs to organizations on campus. We put on events throughout the year, such as Sextacular and Get Yourself Tested.
Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out a concert at Cafe Berlin. Looking for that great brunch after a fun night? Cafe Berlin has you covered for that too. Check out their stacked concert schedule and brunch menu at CafeBerlinComo.com or check them out at 220 North 10th Street. Also, follow them on Twitter and Facebook at Cafe Berlin and on Instagram at CafeBerlinComo.
Welcome back.
Great Scott, Marty, we got to get back to 1985.
Power love is a curious thing.
Get it, Chris.
Salute your sports here. 4:22 p.m. We're running four to five today like normal. I'm Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell alongside me in a big matchup for the Missouri Tiger football team. Coming up this weekend as the number 2 ranked Georgia Bulldogs come to town, come to the middle of Missouri here in Columbia, and will face off at 11 a.m. Right local early. Time. Big matchup for the Tigers. Probably their second biggest game of the season aside from Alabama later on this year.
It's in 2 weeks.
3 weeks, I believe. There's a bye week in between. There's no Mizzou game next week. There's a bye week. But this week they're playing Georgia, and it's a game that's got a lot of people here in Columbia worried.
Ooh. I mean, why be worried if you just think Mizzou's going to lose anyways?
It's the Mizzou way to give up hope before kickoff.
I have no feeling about this game whatsoever, which that way I don't get my hopes up that I'll think that Mizzou can upset them. I mean, you always hope for that, but it's pretty unlikely. Mizzou, however, you know what? I can't say it. Because it's the tiebreaker for Ornaw, so I can't.
I feel like you could hope or expect Missouri to play well and still have them end up losing. And I think that's what could happen here. It's like they'll just play fine, but then it's Georgia. What can you do? You know what I mean?
If Drew Locke goes off, if he throws 500 yards, then they have a chance.
They need Drew Locke and company to have an outrageous day on offense. They need to put up like 40 points. And they need some, but to do that, they need some mistakes from Georgia's defense. And Kirby Smart will not allow mistakes on his defense. And that's the thing that, they're playing a very well-disciplined Georgia team under Kirby Smart. A team that's going to be good for probably the next decade and a half.
With a stud corner, too, and a Baker. He's really good.
Yeah. So it's going to be a...
The way I look at it...
It's going to be a tough one.
For a litmus test for Mizzou is that Georgia steamrolled South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I think South Carolina is a notch above Mizzou.
I think South Carolina is a comparable team to Mizzou.
And the only thing that's going to keep Mizzou in this game is turnovers.
Yeah. They need a defense that's going to make some plays against Fromm and against these Georgia skill position players, and their skill position set can go up against anyone in the country as far as just sheer talent on that team.
On the other hand, if Georgia comes in with too big of an ego, then...
coming flat. And that's another thing that I don't think Kirby Smart will allow. He is better than that. Well, he I don't think he lets his team get big heads.
Too. Yeah, look what happened in 1960.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I remember it like it was yesterday.
1960, James.
I was a fresh lad.
58 years ago. Thank you. How could I possibly forget that? But anyways, for this to go right for the Tigers, they need mental mistakes from Georgia, and they need to be perfect. And I don't think this team can play a perfect game of football.
So let's get it. So,
at least on the defensive side.
Let's get at this. We're not saying that Missouri's going to outplay Georgia. It's just more that they're going to get lucky and somehow pull off a North Texas defeating Arkansas.
All right, it won't be that much. There won't be that much. This would be comparable to Ole Miss beating Alabama.
Right, yeah.
Like a few years ago.
Okay.
It'd be that kind of game.
Well, Mizzou, I like to draw comparisons between that Texas A&M game in 2013 when Johnny Manziel destroyed Alabama.
That was the second Manziel game?
Yeah. That might have been 2012.
This was the second. 2012 was the first. 2013 was the second.
It was the one when they went into Alabama and just destroyed Alabama.
Yeah. And they need a Heisman-worthy performance from Drew Lock. They need whichever running back plays the most, because we saw a lot of carries from Larry Roundtree. We saw a lot of Tyler Beatty. We didn't see much of Demaryius Crockett. But it's basically just the hot hand in the running back core of whoever's having a good game.
The thing that I find different about Purdue than Georgia is that Purdue really had something to play for on Saturday. So I think we were seeing a better Purdue than what we would have seen had Purdue maybe been 2-1 going into that game.
I kind of feel that way too.
Because what, now they're 0-3?
Yeah, they are 0-3.
It's the fight to be, yeah. It's the fight
they're
to
0-3
be.
With all three of those losses being at home.
Yeah.
You're really playing for, I mean, you're playing to prove your coach, you know, prove something to your coach.
Playing for pride, playing to not be 0-3. All
those three losses are combined 8 points. Jeff Rom's fine.
I will pose this question.
Yes.
If Missouri wins Saturday, is Drew Lock a serious Heisman candidate? Right now, currently for PFF, he's 7th in the country.
I'd say yes. If Drew Lock can,
as in a top three candidate,
top three.
See, here's the thing.
Or top five. How high do you think he goes up? Because he's
top
five right now.
Top five is realistic. Right now, I think the Heisman goes. It's going to be Tua for Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa, however you say his last name, I don't know personally.
Sorry, Tua.
Yep, my apologies to Tua, who's of course listening to this.
We'll get it right in like 3 weeks. Yep. We promise.
So Tua's number one. Kyler Murray's number two. Jonathan Taylor's number three. And it's a long gap between anyone who else
So there's about 10 layers of dirt and then Drew Lock.
Yeah, and then it's Drew Lock, Trace McSorley, guys like that.
Ed Oliver?
Ed Oliver's right in that, like maybe like the fourth. But I really think it's those three guys in Tua, Kyler's the second name I said, right?
Yep.
And Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But I think Drew Lock can vault his name up if he has a monster performance against this Georgia secondary, but it needs to be monster. I'm talking 350, 400 yards, at least.
What if they just win?
It has to be like
if they win, but if they win, but Locke doesn't play well, then no, it won't help his personal.
I'm not saying that many yards. What if he goes like 20, 21 for 28 for 250?
If Mizzou wins this game, it will be because Drew Locke throws for 400 yards.
Or like 400, 500 yards. If he has,
that's how Mizzou will win every game this year.
Yeah.
As much as I believe in the running.
And that's what would make him a Heisman candidate.
Yes, as much as I believe in the running game, they're going to have to be playing catch-up a lot because of the defense. It's not that they don't have the talent. They just haven't proved they could play well.
And with how, I think this is the weakest defense. Well, no, two or 3 years ago.
The 2016 defense was worse.
Defense was worse. But in terms of, like, if you put the 2013 defense.
If you put the 2015 defense, that team went 5-7. The 2015 defense on this Mizzou team is national championship contenders. We're talking about them in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the case right now, sadly. Nope. They don't have that 2015 defense. They don't have that 2013 defense. They have this 2018 defense that has a lot of people worried so far for very good reason. They gave up 560 passing yards to David Blau.
Do you think that Terry Beckner Jr. is as good as he is in terms of draft stock?
Draft stock? Here's the thing.
I don't see it because if you look at Sheldon, you know, Sheldon Richardson stood out. Coney Ealy stood out.
Edge rusher.
Shane Ray stood out.
Edge rusher.
Michael Sam.
Edge rusher. You know what, Terry Beckner Jr.?
Nose guard?
Defensive tackle. Those players don't exactly put up the flashiest stats unless they're absolute beasts like Ed Oliver or Aaron Donald.
Those so good.
Like a good defensive tackle coming out of.
So when was the last good Mizzou defensive tackle there was? What, you gotta go back to Justin Smith?
You know more than I would about that. Because all the big Mizzou defensive player names have been
edge rushers.
Yeah.
And they've all turned into I know the talk with Michael Sam and Shane Ray, mm-hmm. kind of converting them to like a linebacker.
Yeah,
combo
3-4 outside linebackers. But here's what I think about Terry Beckner Jr.'s draft stock, since you just asked, is that I think Terry Beckner is a very good interior defensive lineman, and I think he has a lot of talent and can do well in the NFL. That being said, he goes late second round strictly because there's just so much other better interior defensive tackle talent in this draft that hasn't been seen in a long time. Guys like Rashawn Gary, guys like Ed Oliver, guys like Christian Wilkins from Clemson, or whichever two interior defensive linemen are for Clemson. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think Clyde Farrell's one of them. Everyone, there is just a pure stacked amount of talent at D-tackle this year in the NFL draft that I don't think Beckner will do enough. He'll still have a very good year and be arguably the best player on the Mizzou defense, but it won't be enough to vault him that high. But he'll still be good. So that's my opinion on that. So, Mizzou versus Georgia. Big game coming up this weekend for the Tigers. Will be their biggest test of the season. Probably going to be in front of the biggest home crowd of the season, too. Because these Mizzou fans will pack out for Roe. They do for big opponents. No bigger opponent will come here in a long time than number 2 ranked Georgia. How do you see the Tigers doing in this game?
Well,
yikes.
Yeah.
All right.
Flinkies.
I'm not going to keep my hopes up.
Need to remember, this Mizzou team scored 28 points on Georgia last year, and that was the most anyone scored on Georgia in the regular season.
Wow.
It's just Mizzou playing it.
Auburn?
This is the thing. Mizzou, throughout its history, wins games it should not win on paper. It happens time after time. Mizzou beating Oklahoma 2000. Well, I guess Mizzou's ranked 11th in the country going to that game. Give them a little more credit than that. But they've upset number 2 teams in the country before. It's happened.
That would be
fun. It has.
They've had several upsets of top 10 teams. Although their overall winning percentage against top 10 opponents is only 121. So that's they only
it's
win
because
10,
they're top 10 opponents.
They only win 10%. Well, yeah, given that. But I'm just saying with Mizzou, like that team in 2010. That's a team that upset Oklahoma, yet was unable to defeat Nebraska at home and ended up in the Insight Bowl. How does a team that upsets number one? That's the kind of stuff that Iowa State does. Iowa State upsets Oklahoma, and yet they don't get to a very good bowl? Come on. Mizzou is not Iowa State. Mizzou is much better than that, historically.
Also, to verify your old question, Chris, you're right. Auburn did score more. They scored 40 in that game. I, for some reason, thought that was a much more low-scoring game. So my apologies for getting that wrong.
Sorry, other Tigers.
Well, Auburn's a horse of a different color. But
fine. Other than Auburn, Mizzou scored more points than anyone did in the regular season against them.
Okay.
And that 28 points. So they scored 14 in the first quarter because Drew Lock just threw two beautiful 60-yard passes to Emmanuel Hall.
I'm just going to say this. Don't sleep on Mizzou, but it would not shock me if they upset Georgia.
It wouldn't shock me that much. It'd still shock me. I think Georgia wins this game by 14. I think Georgia wins this one. Maybe 14 to 17 points. I say 48-31 final.
I'm going to go with 35-21. Kind of low scoring. I think the defense is more of a surprise than anything.
I think I'm going to go something like 42-35 Georgia, something like that. It's going to be very high scoring, I think, but...
Which that's not characteristic of an SEC game.
No, not really.
Two good defenses. This is like a Big 12 matchup. Like KU going to Baylor this weekend.
No, of course.
KU going to start out 3-1?
I don't know, James. Or can't have a show without another KU mention that James just says through gritted teeth. Quick, let's get into this right now. Other type of football, Mizzou soccer.
Yeah, three game win streak.
Yeah, started out their SEC slate when they hosted Kentucky, on Thursday, winning that one 1-0 between those two games. Was a win against Gonzaga at home and a win against Portland State at home. The Tigers have 9 points in 3 matches. What's gone right for the Tigers so far? Because they did not play well at all in the beginning of the season. Now they're starting to turn it around.
I think with the loss of Zoe Cross, this team's kind of come together and figuring out ways to win, whereas otherwise they would have relied too much on Cross in the in her offensive production.
Yeah, I think one of the also a part of that is, like, you know, they're very stout on defense, and you kind of saw that in their win against Kentucky, which, by the way, Mizzou is now 1-0 in conference play. So there's that. So shout out to the Tigers. But yeah.
And they're undefeated all time since joining the SEC in conference openers.
Yeah, I believe that was the stat.
And this was funny early because we were talking about what we're going to talk about on the show, and Chris shows me this thing, Mizzou's undefeated in conference openers. And he did not give me any context for it. I thought he meant football.
I thought we were still on the soccer. Yeah,
I knew
topic.
He meant soccer.
And I was extremely confused because I thought of immediately 4 or 5 times Mizzou has lost in their conference.
Oh,
opener,
yeah, for real.
Which, by the way, their conference opener in football is this Saturday against Georgia.
It is.
Well,
so.
But back to the football.
Back to football against Portland State. They had a big performance from Sarah Lubbard. I apologize if I'm messing that last name up. Getting both of Mizzou's goals off 3 shots, all 3 of them on target. Big day for the Tigers. Looks like they're finally rolling. Their next game is also against Georgia. That one will be tomorrow, Thursday, the 20th, at 6 p.m. Central. We're going to have another break when we come back. It's everyone's favorite time to salute your sports or not. Another quick thing before we head out. I want to talk about KCOU Sports social media. If you're missing out on Mizzou Sports action, well, then KCOU Sports has you covered. Follow at KCOU Sports on Facebook, Twitter, now Instagram for live game updates. Link to Mizzou student radio coverage of Mizzou athletics. Again, that is at KCOU Sports. We'll see you there. You're listening to Salute Your Sports. We'll be right back.
I can read the writing on the wall. Cold across.
For almost 2 centuries, Americans have enjoyed the valuable privileges of freedom. Now, freedom needs each American to dedicate himself to its preservation. We must not allow our liberties to be endangered by neglect of our duties as citizens. During this year of rededication, join with your fellow Americans in reaffirming the principles on which this country is founded and the safeguarding of those principles. Make it your business to see that federal, state, and local governments are conducted honestly. Help to maintain the good morale of your sons and daughters in the armed forces. Learn the facts about all candidates and issues. Then vote for the one you believe in. Make the most of every minute on your job. Produce as much as you can, and thus increase our military and economic strength. Work for better schools and a better community. Guard your American heritage of freedom. It needs you.
At KCOU, we constantly need custom apparel. Whether it be t-shirts for special events or performance polos for our sports broadcasters, the only place we trust for our apparel needs is One-to-One Print Shop. One-to-One will help your business or organization craft custom apparel at an affordable price. To learn more, go to onetoneprintshop.com. That's onetoneprintshop.com.
KCOU would like to thank Cafe Berlin for their support. Check out Cafe Berlin's delicious and diverse brunch menu at CafeBerlinComo.com. Looking for a fun night out in Colombia? Check out Cafe Berlin's live music calendar on their website as well. Thank you, Cafe Berlin, for your continued support of KCOU Colombia 88.1 FM.
Welcome back. Salute Your Sports here on another fine Wednesday afternoon. on KCOU. I'm Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell alongside me, and it's time for everyone's favorite Salute Your Sports game show. It's time for Or Nod. James hosts this week's edition. Mr. Stanley, take it away.
All right, so this week's topic, not completely related to the beginning of the season. We will go to the end of the season, however.
Ooh.
Oh.
And that's to bowl season.
Yay.
So these are Mizzou bowl game MVPs or nah.
Uh-oh.
You should get that as a soundbite.
It's like
Hank Hill.
There's always discussion between us about what like soundbites we should add. And every time James plays a soundbite on the air, I just verbally berate him, despite asking for more soundbites.
All right, so Chris, you won last week. No, Matthew Terry, you won last week.
Yeah, I won last week.
Do you elect to go first?
I'll go first.
You'll go first? All right.
Less pressure on me if I go first.
All right, bowl game MVP or not, and these are all Mizzou players.
Oh, yes, of course.
Right.
Was Shane Ray ever a bowl game MVP? Yes or not, Matthew Terry?
I am going to go with nah.
Ding, ding. He was never a bowl MVP despite sealing the 2013 season Cotton Bowl for the Missouri Tigers. As Mike Kelly affectionately says, what is it, 10-5? Instead of saying house, he says Cotton Bowl title when he secured the touchdown. Love that call. All right, Matthew Terry leads 1-0 into the bottom of the first. Chris Mitchell. Was Chase Daniel ever a bowl game MVP? Yes or nah?
I'm going to say yes. Ah.
That is incorrect. He was never a bowl game MVP, despite how great he was. He played in 3 different bowl games.
Okay.
Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Chance to go up by 2. Kellen Winslow, Hall of Fame tight end. The San Diego Chargers. He played on Mizzou back in the 70s. Was he ever a bowl game MVP? Yes or nah?
Go with nah.
Man, he's on fire today. That is correct.
He's
he played
good.
In the 1978 Liberty Bowl, which Mizzou won, but the Tigers, Kellen Winslow was not named bowl MVP of that one, despite being a Hall of Fame NFL tight end. Let's go to James Franklin, Chris Mitchell. Was James Franklin ever a bowl game MVP, yes or nah?
I'm going to say yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey.
And Chris Mitchell is finally on the board, 2-1, still Matthew Terry. Go back to Matthew Terry for the top of the third. Marcus Golden. Was Marcus Golden ever a bowl game MVP, Matthew Terry?
No.
I'm sorry, you got that right.
That was good.
That was the wrong sound.
We're back on this again?
Hey.
Yes, we're back on this again. You're now up 3-1.
Woo! Oh, wait, no! No!
Oh, it's time.
No! What have I done?
Chris Mitchell.
James Stanley.
Was Brad Smith ever a bowl game MVP? Yes or nah?
I'm going to say or nah.
Make sure I had the right button that time. That is incorrect. He was the 2005 Independence Bowl MVP.
Ah.
That was the first year Chase Daniel was on the team.
Ooh. I
like how Mizzou can define its plays in like pre-Chase Daniel, during Chase Daniel, and post-Chase Daniel. Like those are the 3 different eras of Mizzou football, at least in my eyes.
Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Was Jeff Wolfert ever a bowl game MVP, yes or nah?
Who?
Jeff Wolfert. All-American kicker for Mizzou. Probably the best. By the way, I was going to make a Tucker McCann analogy. Tucker McCann's probably the best kicker Mizzou's had since Jeff Wolfert.
All right. Sure. We'll go with yes.
Nope. That
was that right that time, too?
That was right that time. Whoa. What is going on with the buttons?
You were messing up. That's what's going on with the buttons.
I think that somebody rewired.
Let's ask James Stanley.
The station. I don't know, James Stanley. What do you think? Yeah, they're still messed up.
Let me know when. I'm up 4-1.
4-1.
Is that it?
So, no. Well, Chris, you got to get this one to stay in the game. Otherwise,
there are
6
for each, or what?
I got a bunch for each. But
all right, cool.
Winning by it's getting pretty bad now.
It is.
It's getting bleak for your boy.
Andrew Gabbert. Was Andrew Gabbert ever a bowl game MVP? Chris Mitchell, yes or no?
There's another Gabbert.
I'm gonna say yes. I don't even know who that is.
Andrew Gabbert?
Andrew Gabbert?
I'm going to say Blaine Gabbert. Do you want another shot at that?
That you didn't get thrown off when I said there was another Gabbert?
I meant to say Andrew Gatchkar. That's who I meant to write, and I wrote down Andrew Gabbert. I'll give you another one. That's my fault.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
If I lose, I'm blaming you, James.
You're not losing yet. You're still up by three.
Yeah, I don't believe in myself.
Come on, man.
How about Henry Josie? Was Henry Josie ever a bowl game MVP, yes or no?
What year did he play for Mizzou?
I'm not telling you that. You should know that off the top of your head.
Oh, rats.
It's a 50-50 chance.
I'm going to go with or nah.
Ah!
Darn it.
We have a winner.
Woo!
Matthew Terry.
That was
Henry Josie.
That was one trouncing.
Was MVP of the 2014 Cotton Bowl.
Ah.
Huh. Interesting.
Some other names that who are not and bowl MVP winners. I should have asked this one. It would have been funny. Matty Mock is that, not.
He's not?
He's not.
Who was the MVP of that the Citrus Bowl in 2015?
Marcus Golden. There was no offensive MVP that year.
Really?
It was only a defensive MVP.
Because I answered Marcus Golden and said no.
No, you said yes.
I did say yes?
Yeah, you said yes. You got that one right.
Okay, whatever. I didn't think I said yes.
Other bowl game.
I could have sworn I said
was
no.
It Shane? I asked you Shane Ray.
You asked me both. Because here's my line of thinking. I thought Marcus Golden was the only, like, because I thought back to that Citrus Bowl, and I thought Matty Mock was the bowl MVP of that.
That's what I thought, too, and he was not.
So that's interesting. Well, I have my victory. I have my dub for the third straight week, and I will take it with honor.
Tony Temple was another. Well, here's the ones you guys did. I did not ask you guys. Tony Temple, 2008 Cotton Bowl. William Moore, 2008 Cotton Bowl. He played with Sean Witherspoon for Atlanta for a little bit. Jeremy Macklin, 2008 Alamo Bowl. Andrew Wilson is the only Mizzou player to win two bowl MVPs.
Oh, wow.
2011 Independence Bowl and the 2014 Cotton Bowl. So he did that his freshman and senior years.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool.
My favorite thing that happened in this edition of Or Not was me asking who a player was and you telling me, and then Chris asked,
Who'd you ask who was? Jeff Wolfert.
And then Chris asked, hey, when did Henry Josie play? And you shut him down immediately.
Because I thought I would have given away the answer.
When did he play?
2014, and they won the Cotton Bowl
that year. The only year he played for Mizzou?
No, he played.
I remember that Cotton Bowl.
He played like 2011. Well, he tore his ACL 2011.
Well, then say 2011 to 2014.
Well, then,
that's what he asked.
Would that have given it away?
No.
See?
He's just saying that.
I don't know anything about the 2014 Cotton Bowl.
We're already getting off to an early airing of grievances. It's pretty much lasted entire show.
Would you like to hear the tiebreaker question? This is why I didn't bring it up earlier.
Sure, of course.
Go for it.
I was going to guess, yes. Whoever can guess the closest number of wins Mizzou has against number two opponents all time would be the tiebreaker.
Two.
You guess two? What do you say?
Four.
Five.
Ah!
Mizzou, you were closer. You would have gotten the tiebreaker.
I know.
Mizzou is 5-15 against number two opponents. That is the best record against any number opponent out of the top 10.
Interesting.
And out of the top 15.
So is this a curse for Georgia?
I don't know, but the last time Mizzou defeated a number two opponent was in 2007 when they beat KU at Arrowhead.
I was going to invoke 2007,
Other wins include a win over Alabama in the 70s when they were ranked second. So.
Ooh.
All right. Another great edition of Or Now. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this show because I got a lot of problems with some people that are here. We're going to have some airing of grievances when we come back. You're listening to Salute Your Sports. Here on KCOU 88.1. We'll be right back.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Whether it be t-shirts for your charity event or jerseys for your intramural team, let One-to-One Print Shop handle your custom apparel needs. Need some inspiration in crafting a logo or design? Follow them on Facebook and Instagram at One-to-One Print Shop and check out some of their latest work. Or check out their website at onetoonprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. One-to-One Print Shop is the place to get custom apparel in Columbia.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We're wrapping things up here on Salute Your Sports. Only got about 5 minutes left on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell. We do some various things to close off the show, depending on what the week is, depending on what we're feeling heading into the show. Well, today we have some problems. And James,
the tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
What do you want to hear about?
Well,
I think you already know what mine's about.
Well,
mine's with the announcers from Mizzou-Purdue Saturday's game. Awful. Terrible. Homer biased. I've not heard anything that bad. Well, actually, people didn't like Joe Buck. I kind of like Joe Buck now. Since Bob Davis, he announced KU football. He announced KU football and basketball games. He was a great announcer for radio, because he was for home radio. He was a homer. That's fine, but when you're on the Big Ten Network and you have other, it's one thing if you're not catering to Purdue fans there. Mizzou fans are forced to watch the Big Ten Network as opposed to the normal SEC network, and that's what my Aaron's grievance is about. This is ridiculous of how bad that call was.
Okay, I think my airing of grievances is going to be with me. I'm beefing with myself because I goofed in my fantasy league so bad. So when my...
Are you sure about that?
When my GM originally created the league, he accidentally left out a seventh spot. So last night, everyone was claiming people on the waiver wire to fill that extra spot. Guess who I filled my spot with instead of DeSean Jackson or a dynamic, flex player? A kicker! I thought Dan Bailey was going to go so fast off that waiver wire, and I wasted my pick on a kicker instead of DeSean Jackson, who is raking with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. So shout out to me, dummy.
My airing of grievances is going to come to a person that I'm close with, person that I interact with on a weekly basis, and a person that I do.
Are you sure about that?
I do share a special bond with, but sometimes just gets under my skin with the various things that I try to do on this show. I'm talking about my co-host James Stanley. So, and the beginning of the show is the perfect example of this, in that I tried to lead quality discussion about Mizzou versus Purdue. James butts in 5 separate times about a different topic. We end up talking about something else entirely that fits in the show because it was dragged there, kicking and screaming.
Like I say, dragged there.
When I try to speak, James will play sound bites, play more sound bites of the various things he has on his flash drive. It's not even his because he lost his and was using one from the studio that he found earlier today.
Which, by the way, when I pulled that flash drive out of the computer in Studio C, the LC Chandler studio.
LC Chandler?
That is when all the problems with the Comrex started happening, and I thought I did it.
Oh, so
Josh was saying, what's all this static?
Bang.
What's all this static going on with the Comrex when I try to connect it to the computer?
Show Josh Neighbors.
And I was thinking, oh, man, that was me. I did that.
You did do that,
it
James.
It was me the whole time. But then it turns out it's just because the knobs were turned up.
And the one thing that I have the biggest grievance about, that I know bringing attention to it will just make him do it more, is that when I try to vibe out to the show's incredible intro, James will distort the sound every single time I try to get into a rhythm and get ready to lead off this show. He's got a smile on his face now. He's got a stupid, dumb grin every time he does it and looks at me as if he's so proud of himself.
I seriously
thought. So my airing of grievances is at you, James Stanley.
Hey, this is the nice thing about controlling the boards. I can, it's kind of like
I'm a prisoner to your wicked games in the show.
Was that a Dave Chappelle skit where he had like, it's basically like Oscar music will start playing. You know, like how they started usher people off the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And
are
like,
you ushering me off the show with this music?
He just walks around with a boombox and he's like, it's your personal Oscar music to get people to shut up.
Ushered off of the show by It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
By Alan Jackson and Jimmy Buffett.
By Alan Jackson.
Featuring Jimmy Buffett.
Featuring Jimmy Buffett. So I guess Mr. Margaritaville. Means I have to stop talking now. Thank you, everyone, for joining us along on Mr. Stanley's wild ride that is Salute Your Sports. I'm Matthew Terry. For James Stanley, for Chris Mitchell, thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in to KCOU Sports Saturday for Mizzou versus Georgia coming up at 11 a.m.
And Tiger pregame live at 10.
Of course.
You can listen to me not use sound bites.
Ah, yes, of course.
I take that very seriously.
You do. You take the pregame a lot more seriously than you take this show, and for that, I commend you. So, for my co-hosts, for everyone listening, for everyone at KCOU, thank you. Have a good weekend. Stay.